Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Perfect Host. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1. The Facade of Grace. The ballroom of the Bellevue Hotel shimmered with opulence. Crystal chandeliers cast fractured light over the sea of designer gowns and tailored tuxedos. Conversations hummed like a well-rehearsed orchestra, punctuated by laughter that echoed with just the right amount of refinement. At the center of it all stood Amara Voss, the queen of this carefully crafted kingdom. Amara moved through the crowd with the grace of a practiced performer, her midnight blue gown trailing behind her like liquid silk. Her smile was warm, inviting, and utterly disarming. To the outside world, she was the embodiment of generosity, a woman who had turned her life into a mission to save others. Hope Eternal Foundation, her brainchild, was the jewel in her crown. Tonight's gala promised to raise millions for the organization's latest endeavor, building shelters for displaced families in conflict zones. She stopped beside a cluster of high-profile donors, her emerald green eyes locking on Marcus Grayson, a tech billionaire known for his extravagant donations. "Marcus," she purred, extending her hand. "I'm so glad you could make it tonight. Your presence alone brings such weight to our cause." Marcus grinned, his ego swelling visibly. "How could I miss it? Hope Eternal is doing incredible work. I've been reading all about it." Amara inclined her head modestly. "Your support means the world. Families across the globe will have a future because of people like you." The group melted under her charm, wallets opening as they pledged amounts that made Amara's pulse quicken, not with gratitude, but with triumph. Every dollar brought her closer to her real goal, one she'd never share with these gullible benefactors. In a dimly lit corner of the room, Ethan Kane observed the scene. Unlike the other attendees, his tailored suit didn't come with a complacent smile. Ethan's sharp hazel eyes tracked Amara's every move, noting the subtle ways she manipulated the flow of attention. He'd seen this act before. Different faces, different venues, but the same script. Amara, of course, noticed him. She always noticed. Ethan was an outlier, a threat. While others fawned, he remained detached, his presence raising questions she didn't need tonight. She approached him, her smile undeterred. "Ethan Kane," she said smoothly. "I wasn't sure you'd RSVP. I like to keep my plans flexible," Ethan replied, his tone cordial but clipped. "Of course," she said, unflinching. "It's a pleasure to have you here. I hope you're finding the evening inspiring." "Inspiring, yes," he said, letting the word linger. "But I do have questions about your latest initiative. The projected costs seem unusually high for what's being proposed." Her smile never faltered, but her eyes sharpened imperceptibly. "Transparency is at the heart of what we do, Mr. Kane. I'd be happy to address any concerns you have, perhaps over coffee next week." Ethan tilted his head, studying her. "I'll take you up on that." Amara's mind churned as she moved away. She couldn't afford to let Ethan dig too deeply, but making an enemy of him outright would be reckless. For now, she'd keep him close, just as she did with every other potential threat. The night's crescendo came when Amara took the stage. The spotlight bathed her in a golden glow as she delivered a heartfelt speech about the transformative power of compassion. Her voice wavered with just the right amount of emotion as she recounted a fabricated story about a child whose life had been saved by the foundation. "As you look around this room," she said, her gaze sweeping over the crowd, "remember that every face here represents a ripple in the pond of change. Together, we can make waves that reach the furthest shores." The audience erupted into applause, many dabbing their eyes. Amara stepped back, basking in their adoration. Yet even as she smiled, she felt the weight of Ethan Kane's gaze, steady and unyielding. Later, in the privacy of her penthouse suite, Amara's mask slipped. She poured herself a glass of red wine, The weariness of maintaining her perfect image settling over her like a heavy cloak. Her assistant, Lila Carter, entered, carrying a tablet. "The gala was a success," Lila reported, her tone brisk. "We've already surpassed last year's pledges. Marcus Grayson alone donated $10 million. "Good," Amara said, her voice devoid of the warmth she'd displayed earlier. "But keep an eye on Ethan Kane. He's going to be a problem." Lila hesitated. "Do you think he knows?" "No," Amara cut her off sharply. "But he suspects. And suspicion is dangerous. Find out everything you can about him. I want to know his weaknesses." As Lila left, Amara stared out at the city skyline, the lights shimmering like promises waiting to be broken. She had built an empire on lies, but she wasn't about to let one man bring it down. With a practiced hand, she swirled her wine, already plotting her next move. Chapter 2. The Art of Deception. The morning sun streamed through the panoramic windows of Amara Voss's penthouse, casting a golden hue on the minimalist decor. Amara sat at her marble kitchen island, a delicate porcelain cup of espresso in hand, her mind already working through the intricacies of the day ahead. She scrolled through her tablet, reviewing the gala's financial reports. The numbers pleased her. Enough pledges to fuel her personal ambitions while maintaining the illusion of Hope Eternal's noble mission. Yet Ethan Kane's face lingered in her mind, a dark cloud over an otherwise flawless night. Lila Carter entered, her ever-efficient assistant carrying a folder and a worried expression. "I did some digging on Ethan Kane," Lila began, placing the folder on the counter. "He's persistent." Amara raised an eyebrow, sipping her espresso. "Define persistent." "He used to work as an investigative journalist," Lila said, opening the folder to reveal clippings and notes. "Exposed several high-profile charity scams before he transitioned into philanthropy himself. He's meticulous and relentless, especially when he thinks someone's hiding something." Amara scanned the contents, her sharp eyes taking in the headlines. "Charity fraud exposed by Kane's diligence and Ethan Kane, the man who fights for transparency." She placed the tablet down carefully. "So, he's a crusader." Lila nodded. "And he's already reached out to two former employees of Hope Eternal. I intercepted one of them, Emily Rogers. She's scared but hasn't said anything yet. The other, Dan Myers, isn't responding to our calls." Amara leaned back, her lips curving into a thoughtful smile. "Then it's time we gave Ethan something to chase. Something to keep him busy and away from the real story." Ethan Kane's downtown office was a cluttered mix of paperwork, books, and framed awards for investigative excellence. He sat at his desk, poring over documents related to Hope Eternal. Every detail screamed legitimacy. Glossy brochures, testimonials, audited financials, but Ethan knew better. He had seen too many perfect facades crumble under scrutiny. His phone buzzed, breaking his concentration. It was a text from his contact, Dan Myers. "I'm ready to talk. Meet me at the park, 2 p.m. Ethan allowed himself a small smile. Finally, progress. At precisely 2 p.m., Ethan arrived at the park, his eyes scanning for Dan. The former financial officer of Hope Eternal was sitting on a bench under a sprawling oak tree, nervously fidgeting with his phone. "Dan," Ethan greeted, extending a hand. "Thanks for meeting me." Dan shook his hand, glancing around nervously. "I don't have much time. If Amara finds out..." "She won't," Ethan assured him. "I just need to understand what's going on with Hope Eternal. Something doesn't add up." Dan hesitated, his face pale. "It's not just the numbers. Everything. She's not who she pretends to be. Amara." Before he could finish, a sharp crack echoed through the park. Dan jerked, his eyes widening in shock. Blood bloomed on his shirt, and he collapsed onto the bench. Ethan froze, his instincts kicking in. He dropped to his knees beside Dan, pressing his hands against the wound. "Dan, stay with me." But it was too late. Dan's lifeless eyes stared into nothingness, leaving Ethan alone with questions and a sinking realization Someone wanted the truth buried. Back at her penthouse, Amara sipped her second espresso of the day. Her posture relaxed as Lila gave her an update. "It's done," Lila said, her voice trembling slightly. "Dan Myers won't be talking." Amara glanced up, her expression cool. "And Ethan? He was there. I doubt he'll back off now." Amara smirked. "Good. Let him come. We'll feed him just enough to keep him busy. And far away from the truth." Ethan sat in his car, his hands gripping the steering wheel. The image of Dan's lifeless body was seared into his mind. Someone had silenced him, and Ethan had no doubt who was behind it. But this wasn't going to stop him, it was going to drive him. Amara Voss had underestimated him, and that was her first mistake. As he started the engine, Ethan resolved to dig deeper, even if it meant risking everything. Chapter 3. Cracks in the Veneer. Amara Voss stood before the floor-to-ceiling windows of her penthouse, the sprawling city below her glowing with a pulse of commerce and ambition. She watched, unmoving, as if the city itself were a chessboard and she the master player. But beneath her composed exterior, her mind was racing. The situation with Ethan Kane was escalating faster than she'd anticipated, and the untimely death of Dan Myers, though necessary, had drawn dangerous attention. Behind her, Lila Carter hovered near the kitchen island, fidgeting with her tablet. Amara finally turned, her piercing gaze pinning Lila in place. "What's the latest on Ethan?" Lila hesitated, her usual confidence replaced with unease. "He's been making waves. He spoke to Emily Rogers yesterday. She hasn't said much yet, but it's only a matter of time. He's also requested the financial audits of Hope Eternal for the last 5 years." Amara's jaw tightened imperceptibly. "And he'll find them flawless, as intended. But Emily," she trailed off, walking slowly toward Lila, her heels clicking softly on the marble floor. "What's her price?" Lila blinked, unsure how to answer. "I don't think she wants money. She left Hope Eternal because she... well, she felt you were unethical." Amara chuckled softly, a cold sound that sent a chill through Lila. "Unethical. What a convenient excuse for incompetence." She paused, tapping a manicured finger against her chin. "Find out what she values most. Everyone has a weakness, Lila. Use it." Across town, Ethan Kane sat at his desk, poring over the limited information he had managed to gather. Dan Myers's death had shaken him, but it had also reinforced his belief. Amara Voss was dangerous, and she was hiding something monumental. Emily Rogers's name glowed on his phone screen. They'd scheduled a meeting, and Ethan had promised her anonymity. He had to tread carefully. One wrong move, and she might shut him out entirely. A knock at his office door startled him. His assistant, Grace, poked her head in, her expression concerned. "Ethan, I just got word from a contact at the police department. They're officially ruling Dan Myers's death a robbery gone wrong." Ethan scoffed. "Course they are. That's exactly what someone like Amara would want. A convenient narrative." Grace hesitated before stepping further into the room. "You're really going all in on this, aren't you? Exposing Hope Eternal could make your career. Or ruin it." Ethan leaned back in his chair, running a hand through his hair. "It's not about my career, Grace. It's about justice. If I back down now, Amara will keep getting away with this." Grace sighed, her worry evident. "Just be careful, okay? People like her don't play by the rules." That evening, Amara arrived at an exclusive members-only club where some of the city's most influential figures gathered. She was there to meet Marcus Grayson, whose continued support was critical to maintaining the appearance of legitimacy for Hope Eternal. "Amara," Marcus greeted her with a warm smile, rising from a leather armchair as she approached. "Always a pleasure." "Marcus," she replied, her voice honeyed. "Thank you for making time. I know how busy you are." They settled into a private corner, and Amara wasted no time weaving her narrative. She painted Ethan Kane as an unhinged former journalist with a vendetta against successful women in philanthropy. Marcus listened intently, nodding at all the right moments. "He's been harassing my former employees," Amara said, her tone laced with concern. "I hate to think what he might do next." Marcus frowned. "If he's crossing the line, perhaps it's time to involve legal counsel. A defamation suit could send a strong message." Amara leaned forward, placing a gentle hand on his. "You're right, of course. But I want to focus on the work we're doing. Every moment spent in court is a moment taken away from the families who need us." Her words were calculated, her delivery flawless. By the end of the meeting, Marcus had promised to publicly support her against Ethan Kane's baseless attacks. Meanwhile, Emily Rogers paced nervously in her small apartment. Ethan was due to arrive any minute, and she wasn't sure if she was doing the right thing. She had left hope eternal years ago, disillusioned by Amara's methods. But going against her now, that felt like poking a hornet's nest. A knock at the door startled her. Taking a deep breath, Emily opened it to find Ethan standing there, his expression a mix of determination and empathy. "Emily," he said softly. "Thank you for agreeing to meet." She stepped aside, motioning for him to enter. They sat at her modest kitchen table, the air thick with tension. "I don't have much to tell you," Emily began, her voice trembling slightly. "I didn't have access to the high-level decisions. But I know things weren't right." Ethan leaned forward, his tone encouraging. "Anything you can share might help. Even the smallest detail could be important." Emily hesitated before speaking again. "The money. It always felt off. Donations would come in, but they never seemed to align with the projects we were funding. And Amara, she had this way of making you doubt yourself, like questioning her was some kind of betrayal." Ethan nodded, taking notes. "Did you ever see anything that could be proof? Documents, transactions, anything?" Emily's brow furrowed as she thought back. "There was one thing. Before I left, I overheard Amara talking to a man named Victor Lang. She called him her fixer. I don't know what he did, but she sounded scared, like she was in over her head." Ethan's pulse quickened. This was the first concrete lead he'd uncovered. Back at her penthouse, Amara sat at her desk, staring at a grainy photo of Emily Rogers on her laptop screen. Lila stood nearby, looking uneasy. "She's talking to him, isn't she?" Amara asked, her voice cold. Lila nodded. "Ethan just left her apartment. He was there for over an hour." Amara's jaw tightened. Emily was always a loose thread. "It's time we snip it." Lila's eyes widened. "You mean?" Amara cut her off with a sharp look. "Whatever it takes, Lila. This empire doesn't fall. Not now, not ever." As Lila left to make arrangements, Amara leaned back in her chair, her mind already plotting her next move. Ethan Kane thought he was gaining ground, but he had no idea the depths of what he was up against. Chapter 4. A Dangerous Game. The night cloaked the city in a veil of shadow as Ethan Kane sat in his modest apartment, surrounded by a collage of notes, photos, and clippings pinned to his wall. At the center was a picture of Amara Voss, her dazzling smile now a mockery of the truth he was piecing together. Emily's information about Victor Lang, the so-called fixer, was the first tangible lead he'd had, and he wasn't about to waste it. Ethan tapped his pen rhythmically on his notepad, mulling over his next steps. Victor Lang wasn't just a name. He was a puzzle piece that might expose the entire operation. But if Lang was as dangerous as Emily suggested, Ethan knew he'd need to tread carefully. He couldn't afford another Dan Meyer situation. His thoughts were interrupted by a knock at the door. He tensed, instinctively reaching for the small pocket knife he kept nearby. Rising cautiously, he peered through the peephole. It was Grace, his assistant. He let out a relieved breath and opened the door. "Grace," he said, motioning her inside. "What are you doing here?" She stepped in, her expression tense. "I thought you'd want to know. Emily Rogers is missing." Ethan froze. "What do you mean, missing?" "She didn't show up to work this morning. Her phone's off, and her co-workers say she didn't mention anything about leaving town. I called her twice, nothing. Ethan's stomach sank. He knew what this meant. Amara, he muttered, his voice low. Grace nodded grimly. It's too much of a coincidence. Ethan clenched his fists, anger bubbling beneath his composed exterior. We have to find her. If Amara got to her. Ethan, Grace interrupted, her voice firm. You need to be careful. Emily's disappearance is a warning. You're getting too close, and she knows it. Ethan's jaw tightened. That's exactly why I can't stop now. Amara Voss reclined in the backseat of her black town car, the soft hum of the engine a soothing backdrop to her thoughts. She glanced at her phone, scrolling through the latest media coverage of Hope Eternal's gala. The headlines were glowing as expected, testament to her carefully managed image. Sitting across from her was Victor Lang, a lean man with sharp features and an air of quiet menace. He adjusted his tailored suit, his eyes cold and calculating. Emily Rogers has been dealt with, Victor said, his tone matter-of-fact. Amara raised an eyebrow. Dealt with? She's alive, he clarified, sensing her disapproval. Now, we arranged for her to take an impromptu vacation, somewhere far away. She won't be talking to Kane again. Amara sighed, leaning back against the leather seat. And Ethan? Victor smirked. He's a persistent one, isn't he? But persistence has its limits. If you want him removed. No, Amara interrupted sharply. Not yet. Eliminating him now would raise too many questions. Besides, he's useful. Victor tilted his head, intrigued. Useful how? Amara's lips curved into a sly smile. He's predictable. His obsession with the truth will drive him straight into a trap. Victor nodded, leaning back. Just say the word. I already have, she replied coolly, turning her attention back to her phone. Ethan spent the next day combing through every connection to Victor Lang he could find. The man was a ghost, leaving no digital trail, but Ethan had learned to read between the lines. A series of shell companies tied to Hope Eternal led him to an offshore account in the Cayman Islands. It wasn't much, but it was enough to confirm his suspicions. Hope Eternal was laundering money. Excitement coursed through him as he compiled his findings. This was it, the thread that could unravel Amara's empire. He immediately called Grace, his voice urgent. Grace, I've got something. Offshore accounts tied to Hope Eternal. If we can trace these transactions. Slow down, Grace cautioned. If this is as big as you think, you need to be careful how you move forward. Amara has resources, and she's not afraid to use them. Ethan knew she was right, but the thrill of being so close to the truth was intoxicating. I'll be careful, he promised. But we need to act fast. Emily's already gone, and who knows who she'll go after next. That evening, Amara hosted a private dinner at an exclusive rooftop restaurant. Her guest list carefully curated to include some of her most influential supporters. The event was intimate, designed to reaffirm their loyalty and deflect any lingering doubts stirred by Ethan's quiet investigation. She was the picture of poise, laughing and mingling with her guests as the city lights twinkled below. But her charm was a weapon, each word and gesture calculated to tighten her grip on her donors. Midway through the evening, she excused herself, stepping out onto the balcony for a moment of solitude. The cool breeze brushed against her skin, carrying with it the faint hum of the city. Lila appeared behind her, her face pale. Amara, we have a problem. Amara turned, her expression calm but expectant. What is it? Ethan Kane, Lila said, handing her a tablet. He's uncovered the offshore accounts. He hasn't made it public yet, but it's only a matter of time. Amara's eyes narrowed as she scrolled through the information. How? Lila hesitated. I don't know, but he's getting closer. Amara stared out at the skyline, her mind racing. She couldn't afford any mistakes now. Ethan was becoming more than an inconvenience. He was a genuine threat. And threats had to be neutralized. Turning back to Lila, her voice was steady but cold. Contact Victor. It's time we remind Mr. Kane why some stones are better left unturned. Later that night, Ethan returned to his apartment, exhausted but determined. As he unlocked the door, he noticed something was off. The faint scent of cologne hung in the air, one he didn't use. He stepped inside cautiously, his eyes scanning the room. Everything seemed in place, but his instincts screamed otherwise. His laptop was open on the desk, the screen dark. He reached for it, powering it on, and was greeted by a single message on a blank document. "You're in over your head. Walk away." Ethan's blood ran cold. Someone had been here. Someone who wanted him to know he was being watched. His first instinct was to call Grace, but he stopped himself. He couldn't risk dragging her into this any further. Sitting down, he stared at the message, his mind racing. Fear gnawed at him, but it only fueled his resolve. Amara Voss had just made a critical mistake. She'd tried to intimidate him, but all she'd done was confirm how close he was to the truth. He closed the laptop, his jaw set. If Amara thought she could scare him off, she was about to learn just how wrong she was. Chapter 5, The Web Titans. Ethan Kane sat in the dim light of his apartment, the message on his laptop still fresh in his mind. The faint hum of the city outside felt oppressive, pressing in on him as he pieced together the implications. Someone had been inside his sanctuary. Someone who had the audacity to leave a warning. But what they didn't realize was that fear only sharpened his determination. He picked up his phone and dialed Grace. His voice steady despite the adrenaline coursing through his veins. "Grace, I need a secure meeting location. No phones, no prying eyes. Ethan, are you okay?" Grace asked, concern evident in her voice. "I'm fine," he lied. "But things are escalating. Meet me in an hour." Amara Voss leaned back in her leather chair, the glow of the city skyline framing her like a queen atop her throne. Across the desk sat Victor Lang, his expression calm but predatory. "Ethan didn't react as we hoped," Victor said, his tone clipped. "He's not walking away." Amara tapped her nails against the polished wood, a slight smile playing on her lips. "Of course he isn't. He's a crusader, the kind who believes he's untouchable. But crusaders have a fatal flaw. They don't know when to stop." Victor raised an eyebrow. "So what's the plan?" Amara's smile widened. "We give him exactly what he's looking for. A breadcrumb trail. Something so tantalizing he can't resist. And when he follows it, we'll bury him in a scandal of his own." Victor nodded, intrigued. "And if that doesn't work?" Amara's voice turned cold. "Then we ensure he can't follow anything ever again." Ethan and Grace met in a nondescript cafe on the outskirts of the city. The place was nearly empty, the hum of conversation low enough to blend into the background noise. Ethan's eyes scanned the room. His paranoia heightened after the intrusion into his apartment. "What's going on, Ethan?" Grace asked, her voice hushed. "You sounded off on the phone." "They broke into my apartment," Ethan said bluntly. "Left a message on my laptop. They're trying to scare me off." Grace's eyes widened. "Ethan, this is getting dangerous. You need to back off." Ethan shook his head. "I can't. I've got something, Grace. Offshore accounts tied to Hope Eternal, massive amounts of money funneled through shell companies. This is bigger than I thought." Grace leaned in, her voice urgent. "Do you even hear yourself? They've already taken out Emily. If you push any harder, you're next." Ethan clenched his fists. "That's exactly why I have to keep going. If I stop now, no one will hold Amara accountable." Grace hesitated, then sighed. "What's your next move?" "I found a lead on Victor Lang," Ethan said, his voice low. "He's more than just a fixer. He's a ghost, off the grid, untraceable. But I tracked a payment to him from one of the shell accounts. If I can find him, I might be able to connect him to Amara." Grace frowned. "You realize he's probably the one who left the message, right?" "He's dangerous, Ethan." "I know," Ethan replied. "But he's also the key to taking her down." Later that night, Amara hosted a private meeting at her penthouse. The attendees included her most trusted allies, board members, influential donors, and a select few who were privy to her true agenda. "Ladies and gentlemen," she began, her tone commanding, "Ethan Kane has become a liability. His persistence threatens everything we've built." One of the board members, a man named Philip Crane, leaned forward. "What's the contingency plan? If he exposes us?" "He won't," Amara interrupted, her voice icy. "Victor is handling the situation. But we need to prepare for any fallout." She handed out folders containing fabricated documents, evidence that painted Ethan as a disgraced journalist with a history of fabricating stories. "If he goes public, we release these. Discredit him completely. By the time we're done, he'll be lucky if anyone believes he exists." The room murmured in agreement, and Amara's confidence swelled. She thrived in chaos, bending it to her will like a maestro conducting an orchestra. Ethan might have uncovered pieces of the truth, but she controlled the narrative. And in her world, perception was everything. Ethan's investigation led him to a seedy motel on the outskirts of the city, a place where Victor Lang was rumored to operate. Armed with a burner phone and a recording device, Ethan parked a few blocks away and approached on foot. The air was thick with tension as he entered the motel's dingy lobby. The clerk barely glanced at him, too engrossed in a small television perched on the counter. Ethan gave a name he'd overheard from one of his sources, hoping it would grant him access to Lang. The clerk nodded, pointing down the hall. "Room 14. Ethan's pulse quickened as he walked toward the door, his senses on high alert. He knocked twice, his hand brushing against the pocket where he kept his recording device. The door creaked open, revealing Victor Lang. The man's sharp gaze cut through Ethan like a blade. "Well," Victor said, his voice smooth and dangerous. "The infamous Ethan Kane. You've been busy." Ethan stepped inside, his posture cautious. "I could say the same about you." Victor smirked, gesturing for him to sit. "You've got guts coming here. But guts won't save you." Ethan didn't sit. "I know what you're doing. The offshore accounts, the shell companies. It all points back to Hope Eternal. And to you." Victor leaned against the door, his smirk widening. "And what exactly do you think you're going to do with that information?" "Expose it," Ethan said firmly. "Amara's empire will crumble." Victor chuckled darkly. "You think you're a hero, don't you? But heroes always fall. And when you do, no one will be there to catch you." Ethan stared him down, refusing to let fear take hold.
"Maybe.
But if I fall, I'm taking you and Amara with me." Victor's expression hardened. "We'll see about that." Back in her penthouse, Amara received a call from Victor. She answered with a calm that belied the storm brewing inside her. "He came to me," Victor said. "The fool thinks he's untouchable." "And?" Amara asked, her voice steady. "I let him walk," Victor replied.
"Now.
But he's digging deeper. If we don't act soon, I'll decide when and how we act," Amara snapped. "Ethan Kane is playing my game. And I never lose." As she hung up, Amara stared out at the city once more. The cracks in her empire were spreading, but she was determined to patch them before it all came crashing down. Chapter 6. The Turning Point. Ethan Kane sat in the dim glow of his desk lamp, the motel meeting with Victor Lang playing on a loop in his mind. He hadn't expected to leave that room alive, but he'd walked out unscathed, physically at least. Victor had made one thing clear. Ethan's crusade was testing the limits of Amara Voss's patience, and he'd be wise to stop. But Ethan wasn't wise. He was relentless. The offshore accounts, Emily's disappearance, Dan Myers's murder, it all pointed to something massive. And now he was close, closer than ever to unraveling the web of deceit that Amara had spun. His phone buzzed, pulling him from his thoughts. It was Grace. "I've been digging into Victor Lang," she said, her voice cautious. "He's tied to more than just Hope Eternal. There's a network of shell companies connected to him. Money laundering, fraud, even arms deals." Ethan's jaw tightened. "And Amara?" "She's at the center of it," Grace confirmed. Every road leads back to her. Ethan leaned back, the weight of the revelation settling over him. This wasn't just about charity fraud anymore. Hope Eternal was a front for something much darker. In her penthouse, Amara Voss stood before the windows, the city sprawling beneath her like a kingdom she ruled. Lila Carter entered the room, her face pale. "We have a problem," Lila said, her voice trembling. "Ethan Kane's digging into Victor's network. He's found connections, real ones. Offshore accounts, illegal activity." Amara turned slowly, her expression unreadable. "And how much does he know?" "Enough to cause serious damage," Lila replied. "If he goes public." "He won't," Amara interrupted, her voice cold. "Not yet." Lila hesitated. "What's the plan?" Amara's lips curved into a predatory smile. "We give him something else to focus on. Create a crisis big enough to distract him. And while he's chasing shadows, we tighten the noose." Lila nodded, though unease flickered in her eyes. Amara's confidence was intoxicating, but it was also terrifying. That evening, Ethan received an anonymous email. The subject line read, "The truth about Amara Voss." He hesitated, his cursor hovering over the message. Was it a trap? A ploy by Amara to throw him off course? But curiosity outweighed caution, and he opened it. The email contained a single link to a folder of documents. Bank statements, transaction records, and correspondence between Amara and Victor Lang. It was a goldmine, seemingly confirming everything Ethan had suspected. But something about it felt too easy. He called Grace, forwarding her the files. "Can you verify these?" "I'll get on it," she replied. "But Ethan, be careful. This feels like bait." Ethan sighed. "No. But if it's real, it's exactly what we need." In her private office, Amara watched a live feed of Ethan on his laptop. The camera, hidden inside the anonymous email link, gave her a clear view of his every move. Victor stood nearby, his arms crossed. "He's taking the bait," Victor said, a smirk tugging at his lips. Amara's expression remained calm. "Course he is. Ethan Kane is predictable. He'll think he's uncovered something damning, and he'll act without verifying it. When he does, we'll expose him." Victor nodded. "And if he doesn't?" Amara's gaze hardened. "Then we destroy him another way." Ethan met Grace in a secure location the next day, the tension between them palpable. She handed him a printed copy of the documents he'd forwarded, her expression grim. "These are good," she admitted.
"Ooh, good.
Whoever sent this wants you to find it." "So it's a trap," Ethan said, his frustration evident. Grace nodded. "But it's also the truth. These accounts, the transactions, they're real. Amara's tied to all of it." Ethan rubbed his temples, the weight of the situation bearing down on him. "Then we use it. If we go public with this." "Ethan, think this through," Grace interrupted. "If you go public, Amara will retaliate. You're not just exposing her. You're putting a target on your back." He met her gaze, determination burning in his eyes. "I didn't come this far to stop now." The following evening, Ethan contacted a trusted journalist, Clara Hunt, a seasoned investigator with a reputation for taking down powerful figures. They met in a secluded bar, the noise around them providing cover for their conversation. "This is big, Ethan," Clara said, scanning the documents. "If what you're saying is true, Amara Voss could go down in flames." "She will," Ethan replied. "But I need your help. I can't do this alone." Clara nodded. "I'll start digging. But you need to be careful. Amara doesn't play fair." "I know," Ethan said grimly. "That's why I need to move fast." At Hope Eternal's headquarters, Amara addressed her board of directors with calm authority. "Ethan Kane is preparing to go public," she announced. "But when he does, he'll be walking into our trap." Philip Crane, one of the directors, frowned. "Are you sure this will work? If he exposes the accounts, then we discredit him," Amara interrupted. "We've planted enough evidence to frame him as a fraud. By the time we're done, No one will believe a word he says. The board murmured in agreement, their trust in Amara unwavering. But as she left the meeting, Amara's confidence wavered. Ethan was proving more resourceful than she'd anticipated, and the cracks in her empire were widening. Standing alone in her office, she stared out at the city, her reflection in the glass a reminder of the woman she'd become. Amara Voss had built an empire on lies, manipulation, and control. And she wasn't about to let it all fall apart. Not without a fight. Chapter 7. The Final Gambit. The city skyline was shrouded in mist, the lights from towering skyscrapers dimmed by the encroaching fog. Ethan Kane stood at the edge of a rooftop parking garage, staring down at the USB drive in his hand. It contained every piece of evidence he had against Amara Voss. Offshore accounts, fraudulent transactions, and the network of shell companies that tied her to Victor Lang's criminal empire. The stakes had never been higher. But the deeper he dug, the more Ethan realized how tightly Amara's web was wound. Exposing her wouldn't just shake her empire, it could endanger everyone in her orbit, including himself. His phone buzzed in his pocket, breaking his reverie. It was Clara Hunt. "I verified the documents," she said without preamble. "It's airtight. If we run with this, Amara Voss is finished." Ethan exhaled slowly. "Then let's move." "Not so fast," Clara cautioned. "You know she'll retaliate. And from what I've heard, Amara doesn't just go after people professionally. She'll destroy your life." "I've come this far," Ethan replied, his voice firm. "I'm not backing down now." Clara sighed. "Then I'll set up the release. This will hit the news cycle first thing tomorrow." In her penthouse, Amara Voss sat at her desk, surrounded by a small circle of trusted allies. Victor Lang stood nearby, his arms crossed, while Philip Crane and Lila Carter watched her with a mix of apprehension and awe. "Ethan Kane will act tonight," Amara said, her voice as cold as steel. "He thinks he has the upper hand." Victor smirked. "And he doesn't." Amara's lips curled into a predatory smile. "Course not. Everything he has, every document, every piece of evidence, came from us. The moment he goes public, we release our counter-narrative. Kane will be branded a fraud, a desperate man trying to take down a legitimate charity." Philip frowned. "And if people believe him?" "They won't," Amara said sharply. "Not after we leak his so-called history. The media will rip him apart." Lila shifted uncomfortably. "Amara, what if he has more? What if he's smarter than we think?" Amara's gaze snapped to Lila, her expression icy. "He's not smarter than me. No one is." Victor chuckled, but there was a flicker of doubt in his eyes. Ethan Kane had proven himself tenacious, and even Victor knew that underestimating him could be dangerous. Ethan's plan was straightforward. He would meet Clara at an undisclosed location to hand over the USB drive. From there, she would upload the files to multiple media outlets, ensuring the story broke wide and fast. Amara wouldn't have time to contain it. But as he drove through the darkened streets, a shadow of unease settled over him. Something about the ease with which he'd obtained the evidence felt off. Amara was meticulous, a master manipulator. Would she really leave such a glaring trail? His thoughts were interrupted by the sound of a car engine roaring behind him. In his rearview mirror, he saw headlights approaching rapidly. The car swerved aggressively, forcing him to swerve onto a side street. Ethan's pulse quickened. This wasn't a coincidence. The pursuing car sped closer, bumping the rear of his vehicle. Ethan gripped the wheel, his heart pounding. He took a sharp turn, trying to lose his pursuer, but the other car stayed on his tail. Whoever they weren't letting up. Finally, Ethan spotted an empty parking garage and veered into it, hoping to outmaneuver his pursuer in the confined space. He sped up the ramps, weaving through the concrete maze, until he reached the top floor. The pursuing car skidded to a stop a few feet away. Two men stepped out, their faces obscured by the shadows. They moved toward Ethan's car with deliberate intent. Ethan jumped out, gripping the USB drive tightly. "Stay back," he shouted, his voice echoing in the empty garage. The men didn't respond. One of them pulled a gun, aiming it squarely at Ethan. In her penthouse, Amara watched the live feed from a hidden camera in the parking garage. Victor stood beside her, a glass of whiskey in hand. "He's cornered," Victor said, smirking. "This ends now." But Amara's expression was unreadable. Her eyes were fixed on the screen, her mind racing. Ethan's defiance had pushed her further than anyone ever had. And yet, she couldn't shake the gnawing feeling that this wasn't over. Not yet. "Let him go," Amara said suddenly. Victor turned to her, his smirk fading. "What?" "Let him go," she repeated. "I want him to see how futile his efforts are. Let him run to the media. By the time he does, no one will believe a word he says." Victor hesitated, then nodded. He spoke into his earpiece, relaying the order to his men. Ethan stood frozen as the men suddenly stopped. Without a word, they returned to their car and sped off, leaving him alone in the garage. Confused but relieved, Ethan climbed back into his car and drove to the rendezvous point with Clara. His grip on the USB drive tightened. Whatever game Amara was playing, he wasn't backing down. The next morning, the headlines exploded. Philanthropist Amara Voss accused of massive fraud. News outlets across the country ran the story, detailing the offshore accounts, shell companies, and criminal connections tied to Hope Eternal. Ethan watched from his apartment as the media frenzy unfolded. But within hours, the tide began to shift. A counterstory emerged, painting Ethan as a disgraced journalist with a history of fabricating stories. Anonymous sources claimed he had falsified evidence, and media outlets began questioning the authenticity of his claims. By midday, Amara Voss held a press conference, her performance flawless. "These accusations are deeply troubling," she said, her voice trembling with emotion. "But I assure you, Hope Eternal has always operated with the utmost integrity. We have nothing to hide." The public's sympathy swung in her favor, and Ethan watched helplessly as his credibility crumbled. That night, Amara sat alone in her penthouse, a glass of wine in hand. The crisis had been contained, but she couldn't shake the feeling that Ethan Kane wasn't finished. He was resilient, resourceful, and far more dangerous than she had anticipated. For the first time in years, Amara felt the stirrings of unease. The game wasn't over yet, and she knew the next move would be the most dangerous of all. Chapter 8. The Price of Deception. The morning after the media storm, Ethan Kane sat in his apartment, staring at the wreckage of his reputation. The headlines, once promising to expose Amara Voss, had turned on him. His face was plastered across news sites with phrases like, "Disgraced journalist fabricates charity scandal," and "Hope Eternal fights back against baseless claims." His phone buzzed incessantly with messages from reporters, former colleagues, and even friends questioning his motives. He ignored them all. Every move he made felt like quicksand, pulling him deeper into a pit from which he might never escape. Yet amidst the chaos, Ethan found clarity. Amara's counterattack had been swift and devastating, but it also confirmed one thing. He was closer to the truth than ever. She wouldn't have gone to such lengths if she wasn't afraid. A knock at his door broke his thoughts. He hesitated, reaching for the knife he now kept within arm's reach, and peered through the peephole. To his surprise, it was Grace. He opened the door cautiously. "Grace, what are you doing here?" Grace stepped inside, her face pale but determined. "I couldn't just watch from the sidelines." "You're right, Ethan. Amara's hiding something big, and I want to help." Ethan's initial suspicion faded, replaced by gratitude. "Thank you," he said, his voice heavy with exhaustion. "I need all the help I can get." Grace set her bag on the table and pulled out a laptop. "I've been looking into Victor Lang. He's not just Amara's fixer. He's the linchpin of her entire operation. If we can tie him to the offshore accounts and Hope Eternal, we can expose them both." Ethan nodded, a spark of hope reigniting. "Let's do it." At the Hope Eternal headquarters, Amara Voss was holding court in her opulent office. The board members were present, their expressions a mix of relief and smug satisfaction. The crisis, at least for now, appeared contained. Ethan Kane has been neutralized, Philip Crane announced. The media is eating him alive. Amara sat at the head of the table, her posture regal, but her mind raced with calculations. Don't underestimate him, she warned. He's resourceful. If he finds a way to recover, we could still be at risk. Victor Lang leaned against the wall, his expression calm. Let me deal with him. Permanently. Amara's gaze flicked to him, her lips tightening. Not yet. Eliminating him now would only confirm his claims. We need to ensure his downfall is absolute. Victor shrugged, but the gleam in his eyes betrayed his impatience. Your call, boss. But the longer he's out there, the bigger the risk. Amara turned back to the board, her voice commanding. Focus on shoring up our defenses. If Ethan has any allies left, find them and neutralize them. As the day turned to night, Ethan and Grace worked tirelessly. Using the files from the USB drive, they traced connections between Victor Lang's shell companies and Amara's offshore accounts. The pattern was undeniable. Money flowed from donors to Hope Eternal, then siphoned into accounts controlled by Victor. This is it, Grace said, her voice trembling with excitement. This is the smoking gun. Ethan leaned over her shoulder, his eyes scanning the screen. We need to get this into the right hands. Clara's been compromised. She won't touch this now. Then who? Grace asked. Ethan's jaw tightened. I know someone. An old contact in law enforcement. If we can get this to them, they can launch an official investigation. The next morning, Amara awoke to a call from Lila. Her voice was panicked. Amara, we have a problem. Amara sat up, her heart pounding. What is it? Ethan, Lila said. He's contacted someone in law enforcement. They're looking into Victor Lang. Amara's mind raced. If law enforcement got involved, it would be harder to control the narrative. She needed to act swiftly and ruthlessly. Find out who he contacted, she ordered. And send Victor to deal with it. Ethan met with his contact, Detective Sarah Holden, in a quiet cafe on the outskirts of the city. Sarah was a seasoned investigator with a reputation for integrity, but even she looked wary as Ethan handed over the files. This is big, she said, flipping through the documents. If this is real, Amara Voss and Victor Lang could go down for a laundry list of crimes. It's real, Ethan said firmly. But you need to move fast. They'll do anything to cover their tracks. Sarah nodded. I'll take this to my superiors. But Ethan, you need to watch your back. That night, Victor Lang tracked Ethan to his apartment. Armed with a silenced pistol, he moved silently through the building, his footsteps barely audible against the worn carpet. Inside, Ethan and Grace were celebrating their small victory. Sarah's taking the case to her department, Ethan said. This could be it, Grace. We might finally bring Amara down. But their celebration was cut short by the sound of the doorknob turning. Ethan's eyes darted to the door, and he grabbed the knife from the table. The door swung open, and Victor stepped inside, his gun raised. End of the line, Kane. Ethan moved instinctively, knocking the gun from Victor's hand as they grappled. Grace screamed, grabbing a lamp and swinging it at Victor, but he dodged, shoving her to the ground. The fight was brutal and chaotic, but Ethan managed to overpower Victor, pinning him to the floor. Who sent you? Ethan demanded. Victor smirked, blood trickling from his lip. You know who. Hours later, Amara received a call from Victor. His voice was strained, but his tone was defiant. Kane got the better of me, but it's not over. The evidence is with a detective. Amara's grip tightened on the phone. Then we escalate. If the evidence reaches the courts, it's over for all of us. Victor hesitated. What do you want me to do? Amara's voice was cold as ice. Burn everything. Every document, every connection to Hope Eternal. And find Ethan Kane. This time, make sure he doesn't walk away.